With all of our vaunted prosperity, our incredibly sophisticated technological achievements, our great wealth, our huge gross national product, and our very high personal incomes, our affluent society is never more than several brief months away from a depression worse than that of the 1930s. What are the chances that all of the glitter and glamour of the greatest society the world has ever known, the highest standard of living the world has ever known, the biggest nation in terms of gross national product that the world has ever seen, could suddenly, one day, all come crashing down? Could it happen here? Could it happen in our age, in our day? The answer is yes, it could. The world is presently in the throes of serious inflation. The United States certainly seems to be leading that trend. And try though governments may, they seem to be unable to stop spiraling inflation. You know, you probably are just as much a victim of everything that's going on as anybody else. And if you are, you've noticed that cost of living increases are sometimes difficult to come by, one company after another going on strike in order just to maintain the present standard of living. Because of continually rising prices, the conversation material for millions of housewives and half of all the rest of the people in our country today that are at least concerned with the rising price of meat, dairy products, vegetables, fuel, automobiles, whatever, anything, any commodity that we buy, it seems you can discover a 10 to 12% increase per month anymore. 80, 90% increase in 1 year. In some cases, over 150% increase in about a year and a half. It's absolutely incredible. What can we do to stop it? The freezing of prices seems to be just a temporary respite. People go underground. The minute the freeze is off, they go ballooning upwards and out of sight. And so it means a vicious cycle that prices go higher and higher. People then demand more money to meet the prices. And then the people who are paying the salaries demand more money for their products. It's a never-ending cycle, and no one seems to know how to stop it. At the very same time, the world is running short on vital, non-renewable resources. The supply of metals, energy sources, mostly fossil fuels, oil, and natural gas and other sources, dwindling down to where they're putting now dates on some of these reserves, saying in maybe 10 to 20 years we don't have any more natural gas, and up to 50 years or so we're out of oil, and who cares about 150 years from now, because you and I won't be around anyhow, the way some people reason. Food. All of this lagging behind the burgeoning demands of a hungry world, hungry for power, for energy, and just hungry. So you can expect to pay higher prices, ever higher prices, for practically everything you use. Things we used to take for granted. And that includes groceries, food of all kinds, gasoline, electricity, natural gas. You can expect a great deal more of the same boom and bust cycle that has plagued our economy, it seems, since it began. Today, many economists expect a severe recession, if not the jeopardy of a depression, within 6 months from now. Just like the one we had in 1969 and 1971, except that some say that this one could even be worse. You can expect greater scarcity in resources, steel, aluminum, plastics, petrochemicals, wood, paper, building materials of all type. These are primary manufacturing materials. I know from personal experience in our building program at Ambassador College that we let the plans of a very important building of ours sit and gather dust for a couple of years, and the price went up somewhere around 12 to 14% just because of the rise in building materials in that period of time, because we couldn't afford to build it at the time we had originally planned, and by the time we got around to it, the building was going to cost us a great deal more. You can expect increasing short supplies in all of these areas, and the United States all the time depending more and more on foreign supplies, principally even in oil, up to 20% of our oil. You can expect the dollar to continue to decline in the world scene. Recent crop disasters in India, China, and Russia illustrate the thin string upon which world food supplies hang. You can expect to continue to find food ever more dear. as population outstrips food production. The population time bomb is still ticking away in all the underdeveloped regions. That's where it really can be felt. When you travel to India, Central and South America, when you go to the countries where the population bomb is really exploding, you are far more impressed with it than you are in just Britain, the United States, some of the European countries. But we too are in a population explosion, though it is far more subtle and less noticed in the so-called developed countries. Japan has managed to hold herself at about the same, and yet Japan is terribly overpopulated. Already there is a new third world group of nations beginning to emerge. New power blocks emerging, five big powers today. The third power block I've talked about in Central Europe, an accomplished fact now actually, and yet being joined by Japan and the might of a growing communist China. Now, how could all of these terrible, dire, obnoxious predictions come about? I don't enjoy predicting that the American economy could come to a screeching standstill someday. But I say the handwriting is on the wall, that many economists are writing books and journals rather furiously to inform and to educate the American populace about this potentiality. Can we do anything about it? What must be done about it? In this series of programs, beginning with the European Economic Community, the threat from abroad, what's happening to the dollar, and now in our own economy, I want to emphasize continually the one central factor in it all, which is human greed. Human nature, which is basically vanity, jealousy, lust, and greed. The me, myself, and I complex that is part and parcel of our society. Because after all, that's what's behind the entire monetary system of all countries. I'd like to take time out to tell you a little story. It has to do with people on an island in the Pacific Ocean years and years ago. They had a monetary standard down there. These were millstones that were left there by colonizers years before, the island of Yap. And there's no pun intended there. They had great millstones and small millstones, the greater and the nethers, they might have been called. And these were their monetary standard. And so they could barter and buy and sell and trade, depending upon, I'll give you a slice of my millstone, and then you could own a third of this millstone or a half of that one or a tenth of the other one. If you own two or three of these millstones, you could even set them up outside your gate, maybe lean in them and scratch your initials on them, and they were a symbol of great wealth. A little bit, you might say, better economy than cockle shells and mother of pearl, wouldn't you say? Well, one day a terrible hurricane came along and the millstones ended up from their former places down on the bottom of the lagoon. But even so, the people of Yap Island could still go on and use the millstones as their monetary standard. Now, we've come a long way from the days of Yap. We use gold. Except we may not realize that even though gold is put on a big truck of some sort and changed from one side of the room to the other side of the room, that it doesn't make any difference because it depends upon whose tag is on the gold brick as to who owns it. You may not realize, too, that the vaults in Fort Knox are actually encased in water. That deep down in the bowels of the earth, there are like elevators suspended on cables. And in these rooms are the golds, the reserves of the United States, which really don't even begin to touch the floating paper money that is available in our society. Only a tiny fragment of it is really backed up by gold. We haven't come all that far after all, have we? You can't eat gold. You can make it into rings, wear it in your nose and your ear and on your finger. You can keep it covetously in some vault somewhere, and you can put it from one side of the room to the other and put somebody else's name upon it, and then they can say, I now own more of that gold. But we eat carrots and vegetables, and we breathe air. And today we're polluting our air, and we're finding that our land is polluted, and we're finding that maybe the entire economy could come to a stop where we revert back to an agrarian kind of a society where we're all out looking around for buying seeds or something like this, instead of depending upon paper money and an artificial economy. The entire thing, after all, depends upon confidence. As long as you've got confidence, that bill is real. And the grocer has confidence that bill is real and negotiable at the bank or to go buy groceries with when he gets time to feed his family in his own face, everything's fine. But when that confidence begins to disappear, look out, because a recession, and maybe a depression, is near. Do you know that one of the major reasons the Great Depression struck in 1929 was because almost overnight, because of fear, about a full one-third of the paper money floating around in the United States disappeared from circulation. And that's all it took. Loss of confidence, and wham, overnight, a Great Depression. Believe me, it could happen again.
While people struggled through the Depression, the Plain Truth magazine was warning about European nationalism. When everyone sighed relief at the end of World War II, the Plain Truth was predicting the Middle East crisis. When Korea dominated the headlines, the Plain Truth was forecasting the formation of the common market. When the space race captured America's fancy, the Plain Truth was covering trade war and the rise of Japan, future super giant. To keep ahead of today's world trends, send for your free subscription. Write Ambassador College, Box 111, Pasadena, California. In Canada, Box 44, Vancouver, BC. The Plain Truth magazine, after 38 years, still ahead of its time.
Dire, unpleasant, doomsday, terrible predictions, aren't they? You know, we Americans don't like to hear the way things really are. We'd far rather be entertained. I think that is easy to say, because when you look at this medium of television, the fact that the average American from age 2 to 65 is going to spend 3,000 days watching this box, this video tube. 3,000 days. You know what that is? That's 9 years of a man's life. You know, the average American spends more time watching television from age 2 to 65 than he does washing himself, brushing his teeth, taking care of some of the physical amenities and difficulties as they may be. And therefore, you've got to say, whether for good or for bad, that the total impact of this box here, that I'm inside of, invited into your home for the moment, has an enormous impact upon us. Many of us have used it to escape from reality. There are programs like this one, and I'm glad to see many more of them coming along, to inform, sometimes I suppose to even frighten, and sometimes to shock, with telling it the way it really is. I think there need to be more of them. And I can tell you right now that it's very, very difficult to get this kind of a program before the public in prime time or in suitable times when most of the public are watching. Right now, it's like pulling eye teeth to get it on in the mornings or the evenings, very late night, Sundays at odd times and so on. Why? Well, because you see, when it gets right down to it, we don't want to hear that kind of news. We would rather be entertained. Well, let me explain how this so-called dire prediction about maybe a collapse of the economy could come to pass. There are three separate ways by which it could happen. One is a cutoff in international trade, and that could happen very quickly and very easily. Secondly, a drastic reduction in the circulation of money. That's the paper money floating around. And third, a cutoff in our oil supply. Now, with Europe and America finding themselves on diverging paths more and more, America could find herself isolated in the world. Europe would probably pressure Africa and Latin America to direct all of her exports or their exports her way. America then would begin to bear the brunt of the animosity of anti-Americanism it's been building up for years anyhow. Obviously, America would lose prestige and influence in the Middle East. It would be made clear that the Mediterranean is a European and a Soviet Union sphere of influence. All over the world, especially in Latin America and Africa, little nations would seize the opportunity to make their presence felt by expropriating American goods and monetary, bank accounts, and also nationalizing, a polite word for stealing, American industries. Canada is so inextricably linked to the United States economically, she would probably try to stick with the United States, but there would be a great deal of pain there because Canadians see themselves as a separate country and they tend to begin to resent American intrusion into Canadian industries, and well they might. Japan would go out in a frenzy to seek new markets for her goods, probably making deeper inroads into Latin America, Southeast Asia, and Europe. The combined chaotic results of international trade war and the fact that the United States depends upon, in many of our leading industries, massive raw materials. Take the automotive industry, for example, where 31 imported minerals must be used to produce even American cars. We would find ourselves in a terrible, chaotic economic situation just from the cessation or the interruption of any number of our share of world trade. Secondly, I said a stoppage of money. That can happen this way. Just like a heroin addict on an ever-increasing dose of drug to get a high, the American economy has been inflated artificially by ever-increasing numbers of printed paper bills that aren't really pinned to any solid metal and are only a matter of confidence. So long as we've got confidence in them, they tend to work. When that confidence stops, then the dollars aren't worth as much. With all this paper money, that has been printed. There has to come some kind of a hangover in the effect of the worst rate of inflation in America's history, which is happening right now. But today, this inflation rate is compounded by shortages of fuel, natural reserves, minerals, food, natural resources. With a recession foreseen in the near future by many economists, the temptation could be strong to try to prolong a period of inflated prosperity. Governments would not like to see recessions. That isn't good for the people who are incumbent in office. They would like to keep it alive somehow. So you get phase 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and phase 79.A, and so on, in order to keep this thin kind of a balloon that is stretched to the bursting point in the air. But if it does burst, then there's going to be a stiff economic downslide, and we the people are going to pay for our folly. While it may not be politically expedient for us to voluntarily begin to experience the terrible sacrifice and the reverberating shudders to industry and the economy that might be necessary to bring things back into some kind of sensible harmony, we're liable to have to learn the lesson whether we want to or not if the bottom drops out of the dollar. And you finally are going down to the grocery store with a fistful of $100 bills, if you can ever find them, to buy one loaf of bread. Now, that did happen in the past in Europe, and a terrible thing similar to that happened, though not quite that bad, in the United States in 1929. One other thing that could happen is oil. And you know, oil is being used politically these days. Maybe we don't seem to understand that Europe depends up to 90% for its life's blood and its very life supply from Middle Eastern and North African oil. And the United States is depending more and more. And as we continue in our use of energy slaves, this will increase rather than diminish on imported oil for our own domestic needs. The United States is facing worsening competition from Europe and Japan, who were spurred to corner oil sources in order to pay for their own huge energy demands. Trade and economic difficulties reduced U.S. foreign relations to stiff, cold formality with some of our former friends, and there have been a few shouting matches that you don't know about, too. Meanwhile, for years, if you could look on into the decade of the 70s and the 80s, perhaps, you could say that in the future it's quite likely the Arab-Israeli conflict would alternately simmer between hot and cold, but may finally explode into a war. If it does, that means automatic shutoff of oil, not only to Europe, but to the United States. The big powers would immediately become involved because they would have to be involved. Their very livelihood depends upon it. Oil rich, and oil, I should say dollars rich, except that's a poor term, so I'll say oil rich, and the revenue right now that they get from oil is looked upon with jaded and jaundiced eye by Arabs, and as a matter of fact, they would rather now have gold or European currencies than dollars for their oil. A token, one-day stoppage not long ago, was placed upon the flow of oil by some of the sheikdoms in the Kuwait, Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, and so on, in the Gulf states there, in order to get their point across. And also there was a unilateral agreement between the Arab oil states and Japan to sell oil at a few dollars a barrel less than it is being sold in the United States, which also had serious overtones for our economy. As a matter of fact, the time could be very near now in the future when Arab nations will have more money in reserves than the United States has in gold backing its own dollar. How do you like that kind of a noise coming? When someday Arab states are going to have more dollars in their banks than we do in ours. That's going to be something to see, isn't it? Middle Eastern oil-producing nations will feel frustrated at a lack of a satisfactory solution, satisfactory to them, in the Middle East. It's been known by our government and by our people in general for many years that Arab oil states have toyed with the idea of shutting off oil supplies to the United States because of our continued support for Israel. They would like to cut off our oil to force us to quit supporting Israel. So it's a kind of an international, inextricable morass of many, many overlaying and interreacting things. The United States now finding itself tied to its trading partners in alliances here and there, and with the flow of goods, raw minerals, oil from abroad, and with the outflow of our dollars into other countries, vast billions of dollars held by Europe and Japan, and us printing more paper money. We're just like a family down the block who has a bank account that is in the red line, or maybe has $10 in the bank, and yet we've got credit cards out here where people have about $1 million or more dollars written against that $10. And they all trust us. They all say we're a good Joe. We've got a good job. They're willing to wait for their money because we're a good fella, and they trust us. But if should anything ever come along and take away from that trust, and all these creditors descend upon us at the same time and demand their money, that $10 isn't going to go very far.
The last Apollo flight lands on the moon while religious war rages in Northern Ireland. Politicians search for peace while pollution engulfs our planet. The gross national product of the United States exceeds $1 trillion, while some 15,000 starve to death worldwide every day. In this age of paradox unparalleled, where can you turn for understanding? There is a source that answers the frightening questions of the 20th century. It's called The Plain Truth. This magazine of understanding reveals the meaning behind today's world news and shows you the good news beyond. The Plain Truth is full color, 52 pages, totally free of charge in the public interest. Today, more than ever before, you need The Plain Truth. For a free subscription, write Ambassador College, Box 111, Pasadena, California. In Canada, Box 44, Vancouver, BC.
The Plain Truth magazine, in this number that I have here, it may not be the current cover when you write for yours, on energy crisis, is a magazine that we've told you about time and again on these programs, both on the radio program, which now is the soundtrack of the television broadcast, and on the TV program. Now, in this one, for example, on a new look at the energy crisis, here is an in-depth article I'd like to show you a couple of pictures of here, if we can come in and see it, of these railroad gondolas carrying low-sulfur coal mined in Virginia by the thousands stacked up there. Well, it's kind of hard to see, isn't it? Try to figure out how to get the light right here. There we go. Maybe you can see it. But though it just looks like streaks of black on the TV screen, that is a giant yard for the offloading of that coal onto ocean-going vessels mined from American mines of soft coal. The energy crisis here, the fact that it takes 200 such cars to fuel the huge blast furnaces to produce steam in some of our big electric plants out in the Arizona desert of the United States, 200 such cars every single day, Americans ought to know these things. They ought to know the rate at which our coal and oil reserves are being eaten up. They ought to know what happens when they flip that switch in their bathroom or their kitchen that activate one of these energy slaves. It's been said the average American housewife, when she walks into her home, may be like an Arab lady that has 90 servants that are bowing and scraping and sitting there waiting to run in to do her bidding. Because this is what we have in terms of energy slaves. The article shows the change in technology. It shows the fantastic difference between our society that can game and play and that of foreign countries where they still have an agrarian society with people stooping over from the waist all day long, planting their rice and praying for the right kind of a monsoon so they can feed their babies when the time comes. The Plain Truth magazine, in this particular issue, had articles on the dilemma of prostitution, genocide, man's way to peace, one about the carpenter of Galilee who brought the world love, and one on a biblical article on heaven, hell, and the hereafter. This kind of an article every single month in the Plain Truth magazine. We deal with the issues that concern you and concern me every single day. Now, I don't want to make a 30-minute commercial out of this, but there are entirely too many of us that say, well, now it sounds like it's got a hook in it somewhere. No, it hasn't. It's the top of the iceberg. You bet it is. The Worldwide Church of God that is directly behind Ambassador Colleges and is the sponsoring body behind Ambassador College firmly believes in, subscribes to, and supports everything that is said in this magazine. That doesn't mean that you need to. You're free to disagree with it, but there is vital information in here that you can't disagree with because that's just the way it is. Doctrinally, exegetically, I should say, religiously, of course you may disagree. Things may not appear to be exactly the way you would like them to be from your point of view. But get the magazine anyhow, at least be challenged and find out which way it really is. These are no gloomsday predictions that our economy is in serious trouble. You know it and I know it. You can look around in your change in vain to find a coin with any silver in it. Long ago, they went through all of that and got all the silver. Maybe you're one of the people that has a bag of silver sitting in your basement somewhere or carefully hidden away where you dug a hole in the backyard. But let me tell you that hoarding of solid metals has already begun to occur in our country. That people are, as it were, girding themselves for a time when they really suspect that our economy is going to come crashing down. Now, I have it. Not only on authority of economists, on the authority of a global input from a worldwide news gathering service, from three colleges with our offices around the world, with their own offices in places like Dusseldorf and in Geneva, and people on the spot over in Brussels, and our own editors that contribute to the Plain Truth magazine that are stationed in such faraway places as Australia, South Africa, the Middle East, and what have you. I've also got another source, and that's the Bible and biblical prophecy. And I happen to know that our people are identified in the pages of the Bible, and that our people are predicted in the Bible to be in a situation at this precise time in world events where we would be, in a sense, the Bible uses this term, besieged within our own gates from powerful enemies abroad. Now, in the space age, the age of rockets and jet aircraft and nuclear missiles, the word besieged conjures up visions of people locked up within a fortress with an attacking army around, building mounts and so on, or great big scaffolding to try to scale the walls. And sure, that's biblical terminology. But put in modern terms, the stoppage of the massive influx of vital essential materials into the United States from powerful enemies is a besieging. The stoppage of oil flowing into this country to fuel our energy sources as well as our entire economy is a form of being besieged within our gates, unable to buy or to sell. You know, the Bible says something, too, about a mark of a beast, and it talks about not being able to buy or to sell. I don't say that it's the answer, but I say it's at least significant that the German currency or monetary form is called a mark. And that the French word for franc really means a mark. You know, if you get a franked envelope, it's one that has been stamped or marked. And actually, the derivation of the term means a mark. It's kind of interesting that it talks, too, in the book of Revelation about a person who, unless he has the mark of this great creature, this great creation, which is pointed up in the Bible as being a combined economic and military power, unless he has that mark, he is unable, the Bible says, to buy or to sell, meaning he experiences horrible economic difficulties. I have reason to believe that there may be some connection there. I'm not telling you dogmatically that that is the fulfillment of that scripture, the book of Revelation. I'm just telling you that I believe we are living in a time much closer to the end of an age and the transition over into a new and a different age than many of us realize, and that we're going to live to see some very traumatic and shocking things happen in the near future. I feel someone who is forewarned is better prepared, and it's time you took warning and began to wonder whether you ought to be doing any preparing. I'm not talking only in a spiritual or a moral sense. There may even be some physical things you need to be doing. So write for the Plain Truth magazine. Get your name on the mailing list. Articles like this will come along every single month, and articles just like them from now right on out. And so we'll send it to you by return mail if the post office cooperates as soon as we get your letter. Till next time, Garner Ted Armstrong. Goodbye, friends.
You have seen Garner Ted Armstrong. Send your letters to Ambassador College, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. Or Post Office Box 44, Vancouver, BC.